Letters from a Glass House is a not-for-profit ministry of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Venice, Florida. Support us today at uucov.org.
So there are two images I kind of want you to hold in your mind as you're sitting there. So if you're ready for this, two images. And the first one is from The Wizard of Oz. Now, how many of you have seen The Wizard of Oz, the original movie? Okay, so most of you. And the moment I want you to think about in The Wizard of Oz movie is this one. Dorothy and her dog Toto spin around and around in the farmhouse in the tornado. And the film is in a sepia-toned black and white. And they land, and she opens the door into a Technicolor world. And the colors are so bright that they almost glow. And for most people, in 1939, this was the first color film they had ever seen. So let's take just a minute, if you all are ready back there, and let's look at that clip. It's just about a minute and a half long. It's all that lovely sepia color. Guys, I'm going to turn off my mic and go with just the podium mic. And here is Dorothy. And the whole world is suddenly in Technicolor. I don't know about you, but I remember the first time I saw this and saw those golden bricks. And I was amazed at how bright they looked. And when you're confronted suddenly with this much color, all the colors of a beautiful spring field of flowers and birds, it can be a moment of deep joy for many people. It feels alive. It feels vibrant. It feels like the earth has woken up. You can almost smell the flowers in the air. Now we're going to look at one more image, and it's a still image. And this is from 9/11, 2001. An AP stringer named Gulnara Samalova shot this image. Some of you may have seen it at the time. Covered in gray ash and powder, all people are alike. Just for a moment, no one's clothing is more impressive. No one has better makeup or nicer shoes. Everyone's hair is matted. Just for a moment, even the actual skin colors vanish under what has been painted on. Whether it is grief or joy, just for a moment, we are all the same. For me, these two different images capture a part of Holly's message that resonates for those of us not as culturally familiar with this holiday. The pure joy of blazing color is the victory of life over death and love over hate, good over evil, feast over famine. Some areas believe the combinations of different colors at this festival take all sorrow away, make life itself more colorful. It reminds us that what is broken can be fixed again, like a withering plant regrowing in the spring. And the messiness and the coating, on the other hand, well, they're a great leveler. Wikipedia says that in addition to the throne-colored powder, water guns and water balloons are also used to play and color each other. And anyone and everyone is fair game. Friend or stranger, rich or poor, any gender, children or elders, the frolic and fight with the colors occurs in the open streets and the parks and outside and inside temples and buildings. Groups carry drums and other musical instruments. They go from place to place and they sing and they dance. People visit family and friends and even foes. They come together to throw colored powders on one another, to laugh and gossip and to eat together. It's much harder to hate someone when you've just tossed a bunch of purple powder on them and they're giggling like a loon. In Mughai, India, Holi was celebrated with such exuberance that people of all castes could throw color on the emperor. Because let's face it, we're all in this messy life together. We're here for all the good and bad. No one escapes being the person with the smudge on their face or their zipper down at some point. No one comes into this life without an act of creation, and we all have to leave at some point. So this holiday says, you know what? Why not celebrate together? Holi is mainly a Hindu holiday, but it's celebrated in other parts of Asia and anywhere in the Western world where there's a large population of the Indian diaspora. The events are all open to anyone present. Sikhs, Jains, and some Buddhists also celebrate this holiday. As for the holiday itself, it's actually more like five holidays bundled together in a big trench coat. No two places celebrating Holi may be doing it for the same reason. Some use the traditional Vishnu story that I talked about during the children's chapel time this morning. Some say it celebrates the love story of Radha and Krishna. Others believe it marks the time the goddess Parvati wanted to bring Shiva back to the world with the help of the love god. For some, it's just the beginning of spring. For a few others, it's a three-day festival of martial arts. So this is an all-purpose holiday. Holi wears a thousand faces. When Dorothy and Toto step out into the Technicolor world, when they step through that threshold of that house, they're entering a world filled with new possibilities. Baptist theologian Nancy Petty writes in a piece called Liminal Space, The Threshold of Hope. Liminal is not a familiar word to most of us. It comes from the Latin word limen, meaning threshold, placed between two different spaces. And it's most often characterized by ambiguity as well as openness. It's characterized as a period of transition where normal limits to thought and self-understanding and behavior are relaxed. The mind becomes open to new possibilities and new perspectives. Some people talk about twilight as being a liminal time, the time between day and night, the middle ground between light and shadow. In science, there's an actual zone observable from space in the place where daylight or shadow advances or retreats around the Earth. We call it the twilight zone, but it's known to scientists as liminal space. Noon and midnight are liminal, the first transitioning between morning and afternoon, the later between one day and the next. Another example is the in-between time when someone wakes up from dream sleep and is unable to tell if a vaguely recalled dream actually occurred. Now, for any of you who've ever traveled to Scotland and England, if you've taken the time to visit the island of Iona, you may have heard the folks there talk about liminal space as a thin place between the ordinary and the sacred. Lisbeth Ellman writes, Iona is also called a thin place. Thin place is a place where the boundary between heaven and earth, as it were, is especially thin, a place where we can sense the divine more readily. An old Celtic expression says that heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in thin places, the distance is even shorter. A thin place is where two worlds meet, where heaven kisses earth and eternal time brushes ordinary time. I love that idea. Some people talk about experiencing this thin place while standing among the ruins in Iona, but you don't have to go there to experience it. All of us have moments when we know we're standing at a threshold, a thin place. We're faced with the decision of whether or not to step into the unknown and the unfamiliar and risk discovering the other side or stay where we are. Holi is a holiday about being open to the possibilities of liminal space. Now, are all the possibilities good? Of course not. Dorothy steps out only to realize she can be killed by the Wicked Witch of the West. She could be put to sleep forever by the field of poppies she finds. In the real world, on the real holiday of Holi, women complain about being sexually harassed in some parts of India, physically assaulted. Some men hide behind the anonymity of being covered by the colored powder. But nevertheless, the good remains. In the children's story we heard this morning, Vishnu was upset with this demon king trying to kill his worshiper. All the other gods were upset with him, but they couldn't do anything because he'd been granted this ability not to be killed. So Vishnu waited until dusk, emerged as what we would call today a werewolf, half human, half animal. He beat the conditions. It made me think of the Lord of the Rings movie when one of the deep villains says, I can be killed by no man, and the woman who has just swung the sword says, I am no man, and beheads him. Vishnu waited until all the conditions were right, stepped into liminal space, and killed a demon king. Vishnu chose new possibilities. When no answer would work, he had hope and he looked for new answers. He woke up to new ideas, and you can too. Now, you don't have to celebrate this holiday if you don't choose to, but you can still seize the ideas. Maybe you've been wanting to try run walking a 5K, but you're afraid to look silly or too sweaty or too slow. Do a Holi color run or a Halloween costume run when everybody looks ridiculous and people are having too much fun to care and you're just one more purple person in a crowd of them. Have a problem and none of the answers work? Take a page from Vishnu's book. Look for the liminal answers that no one's pointed out yet. Holi says you are good enough just as you are, and you can start again and you can try again. It says you can fix the problem, end the fight, no big deal. It says you can go halfway there. No matter how bad the mistakes you've made, spring is going to come, and everybody else has screwed up this year too. You're not the only one with egg on your face, dragging the toilet paper behind your shoe. We're all in this together. And you can make choices about what you do. You don't have to keep making the mistake because you spent a lot of time or money making them in the first place. You can put it down. whatever the unbearable burden you've been handed and come to hate. Step through the door in your mind and into a new space. Refuse to accept common answers. We are all just messy human people who are born and die, and we are built to experience vibrant life in between. So open the door and step out into the technicolor. Amen.